Next on BYUSN, another one and done in the NCAA tournament for BYU basketball. So what's the missing ingredient for the Cougars to get a win in next year's tournament? Plus, with only two teams remaining in the Sweet 16 from the Big 12, is the best basketball conference in America overrated?
Blaine Fowler joins the program to answer those questions. Can Jackson Robinson better his NBA stock? And the latest on the Cougar spring ball QB battle.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, March 25th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who I know was super stoked to have Steve Young show up at the alumni game on Friday night.
That was cool. Yeah, I was trying to get BYU TV going on the app on a plane connecting flight, and it was fun to see Steve in there, which is pretty cool. So what's the story? He didn't know about the alumni game or something?
Apparently he didn't know the specific date and time. He was
otherwise they would have had a jersey for him.
Yes, he was at BYU for a few other reasons, but then he heard, oh my gosh, the alumni game is tonight. And he said, I've been trying to get into this thing for years, which might have been a little hyperbole.
He's like, 4 years? It's like, this is the third year, Steve.
But yeah,
it was cool to have
him
there.
They found him a jersey, and he showed up.
Throws a pick, bounces back with a TD, you know, great throw in the end zone. So that was awesome. That's a super fun event, not only because of what it means to the guys, but the fans. And
sure.
To get back out there and just have a fun time, and there's like 80,000 people on the field behind the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
And it's on TV. And
I almost like it better that it happened at BYU West, the old Provo
High School.
Is that
the official name of that?
Well, Kalani jokingly called it that on Friday. He's like, yeah, we're going to be hanging out at BYU West.
It has a name and a blessing probably, but I don't know what it is.
No, he said it's silly that people are referring to it as that. He's like, it's the old Provo High School.
But it has the Provo logo, right? Didn't it have the BYU logo? What happened?
They put some BYU stuff on the field.
I swear there was a Stretch Wyatt field, and then I saw the Bulldog logo again. I was like,
I think competing graphics, sure. But it had a more intimate feeling. Like, I liked it because typically, you know, somewhere around 5,000 to 7,000 fans show up for something like that. Like, a smaller stadium made it feel like it was a bigger deal.
Yeah, in Lavelle Edwards Stadium, it's fun to be in Lavelle though for those guys.
Sure,
they don't really care how many people are there, they're gonna have a good time. If it was no fans in the stands, but it's all the families and some fans, and what a great weekend with the 1984, celebration and recording, which I'm excited to see how it went with you and the guys.
Yes.
And the alumni game. So what a fun weekend, man.
We needed some mental ointment to handle things after what happened in Omaha with BYU men's basketball, and the alumni game was one of those things for sure. That said, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Look to expand the lead. Dallin Hall spots an opening. Drive and dunk! Oh, wow! Dallin Hall with the hammer!
What's Trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. BYU men's basketball, another one and done. Ugh, haven't won an NCAA tournament game in the last 5 tries and have not won a tournament game overall in the last 12 years. But there is the idea that an incredible core could potentially return for what BYU hopes is a magical run next year. So, Jerem, as we push it forward, what's the missing ingredient for BYU men's hoops to try and win a game and make a run in a potential NCAA tournament next season?
Well, this year it was just like make 2 more threes and don't go down 14.
BYU
wasn't that far off. They don't need some crazy wholesale change per se, but Texas Tech and Duquesne show that if you're going to sort of grab and hold and guard BYU aggressively on the perimeter, that's going to cause some problems for BYU. So I think the answer to that is twofold, or one on offense. Is one, you need another guy or two that can get a shot off one-on-one. BYU relied on sort of pick and roll or the flow of the offense to get certain guys certain shots. Is there a guy that can go get a shot by himself? Can BYU get that guy? Is Dawson Baker one of those guys? Is Colin Chandler one of those guys?
Maybe.
Can they get another guy in the portal that has that skill set so that you could just go ISO if you need it and you get a bucket? Or you create a 2-on-1 and then you can get an easy shot. Also, BYU ended up in the Big 12 being one of the lower-ranked defenses. They were 11th out of 14 as of now in KenPom, conference play only. You've got to defend better. BYU was pretty good at the beginning of the year in the first part of Big 12 play at times. They've got to defend better. So more skilled one-on-one defenders, I think, would be good. And so let's see if BYU can't add those pieces to an already nice core that comes back. I believe that with Dawson Baker healthy and Colin Chandler and perhaps Isaac Davis, and who knows, one or two more out of the portal potentially, because just naturally there will be some attrition. Can BYU do what it did last year plus some?
Yes.
I'm anticipating losing, obviously, Spencer Johnson. I'm anticipating losing Jackson Robinson. I'd love to for him to come back. That'd be great. I'm just going to assume he's leaving unless he does come back. But the addition of some of these guys, Marcus Adams Jr., can he get healthy and available and whatnot? You add to a really nice core
here. Look at all of those returners and the production.
This is a tourney team. We will expect the NCAA tournament, and we will hope for a win. I don't know that we'll expect a win, but we'll hope for a win. So I don't know that BYU is that far, Spence. I think they continue to develop. There will be some attrition, probably on the coaching staff, given how good the season went for BYU in the regular season especially. I'd imagine an assistant or two gets plucked. If they don't, hey, even better for BYU. But that's how it goes. If the assistants are super, super good, they get picked and they move on and whatnot. So I don't think BYU is super far from a win in the tournament. They weren't that far off this year.
No. As much as people want to freak out again, and I know it's never good when CBS College Basketball's main account is putting out BYU has 14 first-round losses since the tournament was expanded to 64 back in 1985. Like, that stings.
It's a credit to
I hate it.
How many times BYU is getting there, but it also stinks that you haven't had – you know, more fewer losses than that.
Yeah, 31 appearances without a Final Four. Like, I know. I hate those stats. Those are my least favorite stats when it comes to BYU sports.
Let's just go to the Final Four. Then we won't see it again.
Then it goes away.
Yeah.
But
that
first, you have to better the getting past the first round scenario, which is what BYU has really struggled with lately. Like, it's been since 2011. It took Jimmer Fredette
lately,
to get BYU through into the round of 32.
I would say that historically BYU has
for sure
with that.
It's just been it's been a really tough go. Like BYU has made the tournament a ton of times. Awesome, 31 times.
To BYU's credit, that's
great.
There are a lot of programs who wish they were in that spot.
I don't think that the missing ingredient is some huge mystery thing that's like, oh man, it's going to take this massive collective effort. I believe it's one thing, and that is something that BYU now has. Experience. This team, how many times did we hear this season, Jerem, from Mark Pope? Gosh, it's just so hard to like have to go through learning experiences and like deal with things and loss and frustration and adversity, and like this team has gotten better from it. This was the first time that this core and this group of players have been in those type of bright lights. And I know people will point to, well, Trevin Nell and Spencer Johnson have been a turn. This was a different deal. Like, they went to the bubble. They had no fans. And BYU, as a six seed, to their credit in 2021, got red-hot UCLA. This was different this go-around because there were fans and there was build-up and BYU was in the Big 12 and there were expectations. And, like, it just felt a lot bigger this go-around. And the nucleus of the team had not been there. I know you say Jackson Robinson had been on the bench, but he wanted to carve out his own legacy, and he did, probably, scoring 25 points against Duquesne. I feel like this team needed to go through it one time. Jimmer Fredette's teams and Jonathan Tavernari and all those great players, they had to go through it multiple times before they finally broke through. I think BYU got what they needed, and that is an experience. Like, the hurt and the frustration that they feel, if they can return the core, Jerem, what you were talking about, this could be special. Maybe BYU
and does, special right now is winning a game.
Yes.
We're not talking about winning two games. We're talking about winning eight
this
games.
This team could go to the next level, which is not just make the tournament, but now you advance in the tournament. That is the next step, clearly, for this team.
Yeah.
And if there's somebody that's feeling pressure, Jerem, it's Mark Pope, because it's the one thing. He has done amazing things for this program. And he did amazing things for Utah Valley. The one thing that he still needs.
Well, yes and no. Like, they didn't go to the NIT once.
Sorry, he took them from a
nothing to something.
Yes,
sure.
A 25-win team when he left UVU to come to BYU.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
sure. He just didn't make the NIT.
But, again, well, I mean, that adds to the conversation.
Yeah.
He's looking for that prominent postseason win. It's just
and we're talking conference tournament, too.
Conference tournament or NCAA tournament.
Because BYU was this close to beating Gonzaga in the WCC title game. That would have been the best.
That would have been the one.
Season.
That would have been the one.
Yeah.
Then the monkey's out the back. It's like then you've won the conference tournament championship for the first time in
and
20
you beat
years.
The Zags and
you have the automatic bid and you're a better than six seed in 2021.
And that was your shot, because in the Big 12, let's be honest, get to the semis and I'm happy.
Sure.
Get to the semis.
So they're looking for that signature win. It took Kalani Sitake in football a while to get that signature home win. Like, and it was against USC in 2019. He took over in 2016. He finally got that like big win against USC at home 3 years later. Mark's looking for that. Like, that's the next step. And they've gone through the experience now. He's taken this team, this core, to the tournament. I believe that that will help. It should help.
I want to challenge you on that a little bit, because I agree with you that it certainly can help moving forward. But Duquesne's guys hadn't been there, and they won. Why was it okay for them? BYU didn't need to go to Allen Fieldhouse and lose to go then the next year and win. So, yes and no. Like, I just need BYU to get to that game, match up, and win.
The one thing, like, that Duquesne had going for them, they'd won 8 straight. BYU had not done that. There's something to, like, riding a wave of momentum and belief.
Why did BYU win 8 straight coming in then?
Harder, tougher conference. I believe it's a tougher conference to, like, win out and win the Big 12 tournament than
BYU hadn't won 3 straight. BYU hadn't won 3 straight since December. Now, I'm not saying that's a huge deal. I actually like that BYU didn't lose 3 straight, then win 3 straight, because they avoided excessive long losing streaks.
Sure.
BYU's not that far off. Hopefully they're motivated and that helps them next year. But ultimately, you go into that game and you need to win. Yale did not need an experience to beat Kentucky. To beat Auburn. And the same thing with Oakland. Mm. They just played better in that game. And so it's hard because BYU had better overall seasons than many of the teams that won a game in the NCAA tournament. But you are defined by how you perform in the postseason. And unfortunately for this team, all they needed was a single win for us to be like, dude, that was
one of the best teams ever.
Incredible.
One of the best teams ever.
I still think it was tremendous, whatever adjective you want to use. But it's hard for us to really elevate them if they don't win a single game in the NCAA tournament. We're just asking for one, man. And hopefully next year, BYU gets to that one. Because if you get one, you are this close to the Sweet 16. You are one away. And unfortunately, it's taken the National Player of the Year for BYU to do it twice. We will see in the next 5 years, I believe, BYU make a Sweet 16 without a National Player of the Year. It's going to happen.
I believe that is – they're capable of that. You don't need the National Player of the Year to make a Sweet 16.
I keep repeating it because it's kind of silly.
It's crazy. It's crazy that that's how it's worked out. Yeah. Just get to the second round. Mark Pope now has that experience with this core.
The Big 12. Like, it's a new era. It's a new time.
They've gone through all
new
of this.
Situation.
Now they know. And people want to point to the physicality. Well, Duquesne did exactly what Texas Tech did. BYU can they can and should learn from this.
You've got to have one-on-one guys, then.
You've got to be able
to. Okay, if you're going to guard me aggressively, I'm going to get to the rim and get fouled.
Learning experience. Like, go out. And Dawson Baker can be one of those guys. And maybe Colin Chandler can be one of those guys.
Chandler might be one of the guys. We'll see.
Like, and they can go get somebody in the transfer portal, to your point. Like, Mark and the staff, they've shown a great ability to adapt and learn. And the players have adapted and learned. They can learn from this tournament experience against Texas Tech and Duquesne.
And I hope there's guys that saw BYU and was like, wow, that's a really fun offense to play
please.
For. I want to be in that offense.
Why would you not?
Cool. Yeah.
Incredible offense.
Topic two. The Big 12 had 2 of the 8 teams in the tournament make the Sweet 16, Houston and Iowa State. Is the Big 12 overrated?
No. People need to stop with, like, the dramatic takes on, like, oh, well, clearly the ACC was the best conference in America because they got 4 to the Sweet 16. Stop it.
Like, they're still going to sue the league.
Sometimes it's about matchups, too, in this tournament. Now, a team
it's
like
always about matchups.
North Carolina is a 1 seed.
Yeah.
Awesome. They're through. Okay? They deserve
it. They own Michigan State in the tournament, by the way.
Who did Duke have to beat to get to the Sweet 16, Jerem? They had to beat a 13 and a 12. Okay? San Diego State's taking advantage of that as well. It's about matchups. The one team that I will point out, it's like, oh, man, is NC State, but they like Duquesne.
They are red hot. How about BYU beating NC State and San Diego State and Iowa State, by the way? Does that make you feel better or worse about BYU season?
A little better. They've beaten 3 Sweet 16 teams.
It almost makes me feel a little worse because I'm like, wait, BYU was good enough.
Ah.
Like, you know what I mean?
But, the ACC, so Duke takes advantage. North Carolina's a 1 seed. Those teams are supposed to beat, like, much lower seeded teams, and they did. Clemson and NC State, okay, that Clemson's been a surprise, and NC State has been a shocker, but NC State's doing something out of the book of Jim Valvano right now. They had to win 5 straight in the ACC tournament just to get in.
Yeah.
And now, but they too.
Hoping for Oakland in that one.
But they too got a 14 seed in the second round, Jerem. They got a 14 seed.
BYU benefited from that in 2011.
They did.
They got an 11, not a 6.
It matters.
Played a 14 and 11.
It matters.
Yeah.
Okay? So, no, I'm not ready to just be like, oh, the Big 12's overrated because the ACC got. Stop it. The two best teams in the Big 12 are still in the field. And I believe that the two best teams in the Big 12 are going to be in the Elite Eight. Like, they just.
Maybe
Iowa
the
State
Final
Houston,
Four, bro.
They might. Both of those teams might get to the Final Four. So, no, like, it's so dramatic at this point in the Sweet 16 to be like, oh, man. Now, if Houston and Iowa State lost in the Sweet 16 and the Big 12 had zero teams in the Elite Eight, then you can, I believe, start to have that conversation, which is like, Well, none of them really got to anything of significance in the NCAA tournament as higher seeds. Like, that's not good. So, we'll see. Like, let's revisit the topic if both of those teams don't get through the Sweet 16 or maybe only one gets to the Elite Eight.
Is it annoying to the anti-Big 12 crowd because the Big 12 has been so loud about how, hey, we're the best league?
Maybe.
Is that why?
Maybe.
What do you...
Can
what
we
do
count
you...
Arizona, too, though?
Yes.
Like, can we just, like, count them?
Like,
because,
when Colorado got to the second round, I was like, yeah, boys!
Big 12.
Yeah, boys.
Arizona, Big 12.
If Utah did anything like that, I would not feel the same way. But what do you care about the most? Is it how many Sweet 16 teams you have? Is it Final Fours? Is it Natties? Because if the Big 12 gets two of the four in the Final Four, does that offset anything that didn't happen in the Sweet 16? The quality of the conference is in, obviously, how you fare in the tourney, but it's also in how many bids you get.
Yeah.
Because that tells you how good that league was overall. And the Big 12 tied for the most with the SEC with eight.
And the SEC got two into the Sweet 16.
Yeah. So are you – yeah. If the Mountain West, you know, the Mountain West had two teams in the second round or what, or how many it was. It depends what you care about. Do you care about how you finish? Was it the whole body of work? I don't know. Was the Big 12 overrated? No. I think the Big 12 has a chance to show that it was still pretty good. I do value the tournament bids quite a bit, though. It tells you about the quality of
the
entire conference.
For sure, yeah.
Because then it's up to the teams in the tournament and those matchups and how you fare and what region you're in and what so on and so forth. But are you rooting for Houston and Iowa State at this point?
I absolutely am.
Me too. I don't have any ill will against them at all. Like, frankly, I was rooting for Utah State. I was like, hey, go for it. And then yesterday happened.
And then Zach Edey and Purdue couldn't miss a shot.
Which, exactly. Well, when you're shooting from 4 feet and in every time, it's amazing that they haven't done this, Purdue, the last 3 years.
Yeah, this
they've lost a double digit seeds the last 3 years until this situation.
It's wild. They were the one seed that lost to a 16 last year. That
how?
Keep in mind, keep this in mind. Virginia, the year after they lost to a 16 seed one, they won the national championship.
And then how many years later scored like 47 points in a game?
Our question of the day is this: what's the missing ingredient for BYU men's basketball to win at least one game in the NCAA tournament next season?
I'm talking about anything crazy.
We've given you our opinions. Yeah. Jaron went through his list of very well thought out points. I believe in the experience of the staff and the players that they have gone through this specific thing now as a Big 12 team. They'll learn from these things, and maybe Elder Chandler and Dawson Baker can help out a little bit.
You're called to serve in March Madness next year, buddy. Let's go.
Jeremy Bickman on X answers, find, develop a true alpha. Yeah. Who can manufacture his own shot and consistently play with energy and urgency. We think that BYU has two of those guys in the pipeline.
Yeah, who?
One's on the bench now, Dawson Baker.
Yeah, Dawson's got the one-on-one skills. You know, will Colin Chandler be the main guy as a freshman? That's a lot of pressure to put on a dude, but he is the highest signee BYU's ever had.
Well, it's nice that BYU has so much depth that they can feel like they can ease him in.
And he's coming off a mission. Yeah. You know, he won't even be 6 months back, right, when the season starts.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to expect him out of the gate to be unbelievable.
Alan
Purvis.
I'm going
to give him a sophomore year.
On X answers, a big man that can protect the rim. BYU has a tough time matching up one-on-one against guards that can get into the lane. BYU needs a big that can help protect the rim and take that advantage away. You know what's funny? Like, against a team like Duquesne, I said, like, about 15 minutes into the game, man, BYU misses a guy like Atiki right now. Just defensive energy and, like, a shot blocker against their guards getting to the rim. And their bigs, like,
are there minutes for that? Like, if Foose and Ali come back, they don't say transfer or whatever. Where are the minutes?
Sure.
Where are the minutes?
Ali just was not, like, obviously feeling good in his knees, is acting up. And like.
Unfortunately, played perhaps his worst game of the season in the NCAA tournament, which was hard.
At that point, I was like, man, a tiki would be a nice change of pace just to create some defensive confidence and energy.
Just for a couple minutes?
Just to change the pace, to change, like, the downhill attack from Duquesne. And BYU just didn't have it.
And maybe you're throwing some oops to him on offense.
Sure. Yeah. Above the rim play.
No, a tiki down the stretch. Yeah. Was tough because he wasn't available.
He's a physical player, games, too. Yeah. You want to talk about matching physicality?
Yeah.
He's the dude for BYU.
Yeah.
That is physical defensively.
Yeah.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram to answer the question.
Cougar Baseball plays Utah Valley tonight. You can watch and listen to it. 8 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. Plus, and, of course, BYU Radio.
Up next, Jackson Robinson's performance in the NCAA tournament has him back on draft boards, but how high? Plus an update on the quarterback battle from BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
We're live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out your Monday headlines.
In the second segment, football wrapped up week 4 of spring practices with practices on Friday and Saturday. Head coach Kalani Sitake gave an update on the QB battle between Jake Retzlaff and Gary Bohannon.
Jake's got he knows the offense way better than what Gary's done, and a lot more comfortable with the way that A-Rod calls it, and A-Rod's coached that position, so he's further ahead. But you can see the ability in both those guys, and the competition's been really nice for those guys to get after it.
That means that this is going to go into fall camp.
Oh, like yeah.
The final week of spring practices begins today, it ends on Saturday.
Number 7, BYU men's volleyball.
Hey.
Nice wins, back-to-back road victories at number 8 Pepperdine in MPSF play over the weekend. Cougars improved to 13-7 on the season. They're 4-4 in conference. BYU had a brutally tough start to Federation play. Jerem, what do you think? They get maybe the 3 or 4 seed in the MPSF tournament?
We'll talk about it in the whip, my dog. Concordia in town this weekend. Baseball lost games 2 and 3 of the series at Texas Tech, 4-3 and 10-1. The 4-3 was tough. That was a walk-off. Cougars 11-10 overall, 4-5 in league play. They host Utah Valley tonight, 8 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
How about BYU softball hosting, depending on which poll you look at, number 4 or number 6 Oklahoma State over the weekend, highlighted thanks to an 11-8 win on Friday night with 2 grand slams. BYU took a 10-2 lead powered by those 2 grand slams. They hold off the Cowgirls 11-8. Hunter Ava and Haley Morrow produced both of them. In fact, let's relive them with some sound.
So the right side of the infield plays up. There's a ball driven. Deep and gone! A grand slam for BYU! There's a line drive, no doubter! Another grand slam! BYU pouring it on!
Our good friend Brandon Crow on the call.
BYU about to get that deal with Denny's? What's going on? That was amazing. I know they only won one of the 3 games.
That's all that
matters. That's all you need.
That's all that matters
in a
series
like that.
Get a top 5
win? Are you kidding me? It's
Jerem,
amazing.
Their RPI has jumped like 25 spots because of a win against Texas Tech and one win against Oklahoma State.
RPI is the worst.
It sucks. RPI is the worst, but it matters so much for the selection.
If RPI was a person, I'd punch him in the face. Gymnastics finished 3rd of the Big 12 championships with a season high 197.050.
Yeah.
Highlighted by Anna Bramblett's 995 on bars, Elise Rollins, Copper Hills, 99 on beam, Sophie Dudley and Kylie Quinto's 99 on floor. The Cougars finished the regular season 33rd. They will be in the NCAA regional, which we found this out the last 20 minutes ago. They're competing in Arkansas beginning Wednesday in Fayetteville, where you have been.
Yes, I have. You know what? Nice place.
Yeah.
Nice place. Great fan base for BYU fans. Like, surprisingly, a lot of BYU fans in that area.
I'm not shocked that there's great BYU fans in any place.
Hey, they'll show up and support Anna Bramley, who I think is going to be an All-American, at least a second teamer on the team. BYU track and field competed at the Aztec Invitational in San Diego, highlighted by performances from Gretchen Hochstree, who threw for a number 3 program all-time mark in the discus, and Wyatt Houghton, James Corrigan, and Isaac Hedengren take 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in the 3,000-meter steeplechase.
Number 46, women's tennis lost at number 28, Texas Tech over the weekend. Emily Astle, Tina Lee each picked up singles wins for the Cougars, who were 12-4 overall, 4-3 in Big 12 play. Men's tennis lost to number 17, Oklahoma. Zach Fuchs, Tyjin Goldhammer each picked up singles wins for the Cougs, who are 11-5 overall and 0-2 in the Big 12.
BYU men's and women's golf both begin play in tournaments today, with the men competing at the Bridgestone Collegiate Invitational in Napa Valley, California, and the women's team competing at the Fresno State Classic in Fresno, California.
Fres, yes. Ashley Hatch notched an assist for the Washington Spirit in a 2-1 win over Bay FC. That's where Vaca and Shepard play as well. In the NWSL this weekend.
And how about some Major League Baseball news with Daniel Schneeman? I like to call him Sika Slim Schneeman. Wrapped up spring training yesterday with a two-run homer.
Up.
That's what you know what I'm doing,
nice,
bro.
Nice, anchor boy.
Come on. Schneeman hit .344 with two home runs in the spring, seven RBI for the Cleveland Guardians. He's so close. Jeremy, he's so close to getting that initial debut.
Be the next Coug in the MLB. Let's go. Playing great.
Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. The Cougar Whip Around presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
What was your favorite moment from the football alumni game?
Probably Neil Pau's catch over our guy Brandon Bradley.
He got roasted by all the receivers. Now
Bradley's
the
in perfect position, but just...
But old.
Just, yes.
I love Brandon. He's so great.
Neil's
but
just
Neil
a little bit
is
more young
little
and
younger.
Sprightly compared to Brandon.
Look at all the players run over to Brandon.
There were more guys razzing Brandon than they were celebrating with Neil right after the play.
Poor Brandon's going to never not hear about that.
How about the throw from Jackson Brown?
Jackson Brown! Jackson Brown. I was like, dude, Jackson Brown?
Yeah, let's go. That was really fun.
Steve Young being there, throwing
amazing.
Steve
getting redemption. So, he's like, Spencer, everybody loves a redemption story. After his interception, he threw his touchdown. And he's like, as soon as I threw it and he caught it, he's like, I'm out. By the way, that play he ran, he used to coach his girls' flag football team.
It's, he used one of his
it's
plays?
It's from Taylor Swift. Like, it's like shake, shake, shake from Taylor Swift. Yeah.
That's great.
Amazing.
Sorry, Steve. Your amount of resistance and trials and tribulations were one interception, dog.
Yeah.
That wasn't that much.
Hey, ESPN NBA draft experts Jonathan Giovanni and Jeremy Wu have Jackson Robinson now being drafted late second round, number 55 overall, to the Golden State Warriors, Jerem, in their updated mock draft as of this morning. Did Jackson legitimately play himself into being a draft pick in the Duquesne game?
That's the icing on the cake. He had shown that he's G League to NBA good somewhere in there. In NBADraft.net, he's 32nd, so just barely into the second round. Tankathon doesn't have him in theirs. SI.com had a mock where he was second to last, 59th. There's some mocks where he's not in there at all. So it kind of depends what he wants.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Here's what I don't want to happen. He declares and then doesn't get drafted.
We've seen that.
I know.
Derek Mika and Elijah Bryant.
I do not want that. So, if he could, guarantee, if all of the mocks started putting him, around 30 or 40, then it's like, okay, I get it if you go.
You'll be
But
picked.
If it's, in the 50s, it's like, I don't know. I think you can improve your stock a little bit.
I would love for him to improve his stock. Does he feel like he can very much? That's the question. I'd like to have
Fair
him
question.
In studio and chat with him.
Fair question.
13 seed Yale upset 4 seed Auburn on Friday in the NCAA tournament. A lot of people were excited about it, which led Yale men's basketball to post this on X. Our notifications are blowing up with basketball tweets. This is from, but we are the Yale Molecular Biophysics and Biochemistry Cant at Yale MBB. You might want to tag Yale M Basketball instead. That's pretty funny. Is this the most Ivy League thing ever? Yes, the molecular biophysics and biochemistry.
Yeah, we laugh to keep from crying because they're all going to be future millionaires.
I don't care about that. The Y's, the wrong Y.
At least one Y got to the second round, huh? Ugh. Number 7 BYU men's volleyball picked up two big wins at Pepperdine, as we just documented this weekend in MPSF play. So, Jeremy, what are your expectations for the Cougars on the volleyball court the rest of the season?
Be the 3 seed going into the MPSF tournament. They're currently in that spot by a half game ahead of Pepperdine, who they have the tiebreaker over, and ahead of Stanford, USC, and Concordia. So, win both at home this week and be 6-4 in MPSF play.
Okay.
Another round to go.
Hey, I would love that. Maybe. Things can get weird in postseason tournament play. Just maybe they pull a shocker as the 3 seed. We'll see.
Perhaps.
We'll see.
Check out the latest Her Why podcast featuring women's golf head coach Carrie Roberts, one of our favorites, who explores her professional golf career and competing now as the coach in the Big 12.
Up next, our dual threat analyst, Uncle B, Blaine Fowler, joins us to discuss Cougar hoops, post-NCAA tournament, BYU football in the spring. What does he believe the missing ingredient is for the Cougars in the tournament? And who's the MVP of the spring thus far on the football field? This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
On the BYU campus in Provo, Utah, tonight, we tip off a new era.
It ain't gonna stop, ever, ever, never gonna quit, ever, ever. It ain't gonna stop, It ain't gonna stop, never gonna quit, better stop the clock.
Welcome back, happy Monday. We're in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Joining us now is the dual threat analyst for BYU TV Sports, covering both football and basketball like a champ, a national champ. Blaine Fowler is with us on BYU.
I wanted to
USA.
See Blaine throw some passes out there on Friday night.
Yeah, Blaine, how do we get you in the alumni game? Not just broadcasting, but like actually playing it.
Yeah.
You guys, I was this close. Ooh. Because I was down on the field talking to Steve, and he and I were debating whether or not he was going to throw. And he's like, I don't know if my shoulder, like, I don't want to go out there and, like, put some torque on something because I'm just out here in a game and hurt my shoulder. And then he started warming up and he was feeling good. He's like, my shoulder feels pretty good. Maybe I'll just throw a couple. Maybe I'll just throw a couple. And then Max was like, Blaine, why don't I come up in the booth in the third quarter? You come down and just play a series and then you can come back up in the fourth quarter. And
yeah.
For like 2 seconds, I thought about it. And I was like, no, I need a month to warm up. Like, I need to. So I have to say, though, Steve and I committed to try to get Jimmy Mack to come back next year. And Max and I are going to let Jimmy and Steve start.
Wow.
And then Max and I will back them up. And I backed up Jim and Steve before, so I'm okay with that.
Yes, you
know, you guys know that.
Now, that's legit, right? Working on Jim McMahon and Steve Young. Oh, well, that's called a teaser for next year's alumni game. Blaine, let's just go ahead and stay on the football beat because we're already there. You have had the opportunity to watch some spring practices and see the guys, and certainly your son Gavin is on the staff. And so, I mean, you are an expert in this field. What do you think, or who do you think, is the MVP of spring football thus far for BYU?
It's interesting because, like, can I pick an offensive and defensive?
Sure.
Can I expand it to two? To me, the one guy on defense that just jumps off the page to me is Jack Kelly. And I know that's not a name that everybody's thinking about, and maybe that's why he jumps off the page to me, because the first couple of times I was like, who is that guy? Like, he was that good. Downhill, unbelievably aggressive, great instincts, built like a tank. When they've gone live, he's been smacking people a la, I mean, he reminds me of Max Tooley, only he's like 20 pounds heavier. He just hits with such ferocity, and he just seems to always be in the right spot. And his quickness downhill has been off the charts impressive to me. And so when I've been to practice, every time my eye is drawn to him, and I had heard he was transferring, but I didn't realize that he might be able to have the kind of impact that he could have on this defense this year at that linebacker position.
That's awesome. And how about on offense?
On the offensive side, it's the freshman tight end Swanson, who is who is ridiculous. He looks like an NFL, like, from his body. You see his body, and you're like, oh my gosh, this guy looks like an NFL tight end. He runs like an NFL tight end. He's got these beautiful soft hands. He runs routes, and then you talk to him, and you're like, oh no, he's a 17-year-old kid. I keep waiting for him to say to me, oh, yo, dude, just give me a cool bus and some tasty waves, and I'm home, baby.
Yes,
you know,
he is a surfer dude. Reiner is a surfer dude for sure.
Yeah, and he is so chill. But you watch him out on the field, he's not chill on the field. He's aggressive to the ball. He's a good route runner. At his size, he's so fluid and – he's fluid into his breaks and out of his breaks. He runs like a wide receiver. I'm like, oh, man, this is one of the best-looking freshman tight ends I've seen at BYU in a long, long time. So if I'm just going to pick out two, and maybe those aren't MVPs, because I think the running backs have looked really good in spring ball as well. Hinkley Ropati has looked good. Miles Davis has looked good. I mean, on and on. The running back group has been surprisingly good to me. But I'm just picking out a couple of people that maybe nobody's thinking about, that when you go to practice, your eye is drawn to them. And you're like, who is this person? And then you realize who they are and you go, okay, that's a couple of newcomers. They're going to have a huge impact on BYU this fall.
Blaine, I'm trying to remember when I was interviewing Reiner Swanson during the alumni game, who he said, but I think he said like Mr. Pitta or Mr. Colley.
He said Mr. Pitta. I literally was in Minneapolis on a connecting flight listening to it and just laughing. Yeah, Mr. Pitta.
I was like, wow, Dennis feels old right now.
I just want to call him Sunshine, but I know I can't. You know, yeah. Sunshine, you know. He is something special, you guys. He's everything that they talked about. If they can keep him healthy and he continues to learn and understand his role in that offense, he can have an impact. And remember, he's supposed to be in high school right now. And he came as an early enrollee. And then I'll tell you another early enrollee that came in January that should be a high school senior that I'm watching going, whoa, this guy's twitchy. This right. guy. No, if this is Tommy Prassis at free safety.
Safety, Arizona.
Yes. Like, you wait till you see this kid. Like, and if you just saw him, you'd be like, oh, what a nice kid. And then you see him on the field, and you're like, this dude's got great instincts, and he's flying all over the place. And so there's a couple of, I mean, when I say youngsters, I mean like 17-year-old youngsters on this roster that have really, really impressed me as much as any couple of freshmen have in a long, long time, especially as early enrollee freshmen.
That's impressive because, yeah, the early enrollee guys in spring, we don't talk about them. That's not a thing.
Never.
I can't tell if that's an indictment on the current guys or super positive for the freshmen coming in. But I do want to ask you for the about the quarterback battle. What are you seeing, hearing, feeling about Bohannon versus Retzlaff so far, which it feels like this is going to bleed into fall camp before we have a decision here?
Yeah, I think there. I don't. At this point, I think there's no question it is, because they've kind of gone back and forth, and not just back and forth like one practice and then the next practice. It's been from drive to drive. Like one drive, you know, Jake looks really, really good. The next drive, Gary looks really good. They've made some throws. They've made some bad decisions. So I don't know if that's good or bad. You'd almost wish that you had somebody that was just taking this thing by the throat and saying, this is my job. And that does concern me a little bit, that not one of those guys hasn't just jumped off the page. I like them both. They have very different skill sets, right? They're both amazing human beings and both great leaders, and their teammates love them and trust them. What I need to see out of both of them is a level of consistency where I feel really comfortable going into the fall that the person at that position is going to manage that offense and not turn the ball over and do all the right things and make the right decisions with the football, because that's what they need from that position. I believe this defense will be top three in the league next year. I believe that we're going to see a renaissance in the run game. So they're going to be able to run the football. They're deep at running back. They're deep at wide receiver. They look really good at tight end. The offensive line's looking physical and a cohesive unit. So the quarterback just needs to not mess it up. And so I want to feel really good about that going into that first game. Right now, I still have a question mark there.
Blaine Fowler is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, let's call a timeout with football and bring it back around to BYU basketball as we delve now into, unfortunately, the early offseason that doesn't include an NCAA tournament win. Blaine, what's the missing ingredient do you feel that the Cougars need to implement in order to not just get to the tournament next year, make another nice run through the Big 12, but win at least one game in March Madness next year?
To me, what I saw them do from last year in the offseason to this year, they just need to do the same thing and they'll be fine. It's an evolution. We have to remember how much further along they were this year than any of us expected. I don't know about you guys. I had no plan for them to be in the NCAA tournament this year, in my mind.
I don't think 99% of the BYU fans did.
Yeah, agreed.
And the thing is, my big question for them was, can they hold up to the physicality week after week that is the Big 12? And surprisingly, they did. There were some lapses where teams like Texas Tech got into him and got him sped up because they were just so physical with him. I feel like, and you guys know, I covered the Atlantic 10 for a decade for NBC Sports, and that league, it's interesting. The A-10 kind of gets the leftovers from the ACC and the Big East. Really good athletes, really physical players, but not quite as skilled, so they hang their hat on crazy physical play. And I felt like Duquesne came out in that game, and they just said, listen, we're going to get two arms in between the screen and the player, which could get called as a foul, but what we're going to do is we're going to try to reset the barometer. We're going to be so physical that they're either going to call us for three fouls in the first 35 seconds, or we're going to reset the barometer and we're going to get away with this all game long. And they reset the barometer. And if you're BYU, you can't complain about that. You just have to say, okay, this is the way it's going to be. Then we have to match that physicality. And they struggled with that in that game. They struggled with it in the Texas Tech game. So the one thing that I'd like to see them progress at is their ability to take on these really physical teams and match that physicality. And maybe that, you know, who they have coming in that sat out this year, and guys like Adams and Baker. I feel like those are really physical guys. I feel like Dallin Hall's a really physical guy, and he's not afraid to play downhill. And I feel like Richie Saunders is a really physical guy that's not afraid to play downhill and match that physicality. So I do feel like the guys that are coming to join this offseason that sat out, and then the evolution of these young guys that are just going to keep getting better, I feel like they will be more physical and better. And it would really help if they were got more consistent, where when teams are just running them off the three-point line, that's a problem, because now they're going to throw it inside, and they're really, really good inside as well. And there were games when Fuchs was lights out, and there were games where they were able to defend him. So more weapons inside. But to me, they took a monster leap in terms of their ability to play physical, and that's why they did so well in the Big 12. If they can take maybe even half of what they did this offseason, then they go win a game or two in the NCAA tournament next year.
Hey, we take a game. Two would be all-time, right? We've always done that twice. It required the National Player of the Year to do it both times, Danny Ainge, Jimmy Fredette. Do you expect Jackson Robinson to return?
It's a hard one, because I feel like it will really depend on how these pre-draft camps are. So for college basketball, you can kind of go out, play in pre-draft camps, and get a really good, solid evaluation of where you're going to go. And right now, people are projecting him mid to late second round. If he's a late second rounder, I heard you guys talking about this before I came on. You know, I feel like he can improve his stock. And I feel like if he comes back next year, perhaps he has a conversation about being a starter. He was great as a sixth man. Be a starter. Play more minutes, be one of the leading scorers in the Big 12. He certainly can improve his stock from a late second rounder to an early second rounder, or maybe even a first rounder. And when you get into that first round money, that's a big deal. And with NIL, like, they're not going to match what you're going to make if you're a first or early second rounder, but there's enough money there to make it worth coming back, right? And if you can really improve your draft stock, that's money that's guaranteed for a few years if you're a first rounder. So I say all this because it really depends on how these camps go. I think he improved his stock in the Duquesne game, right? Because he played against that physicality and he kind of took the game over, right? So I think he improved that. If he goes out in these camps and they just go, oh, yeah, he can play, and he moves up, and even if he's a first couple of picks in the second round, then you got to go, right? But if after it's all said and done, he's a late second rounder or a free agent, you know, I would come back and improve my stock because I think he's capable of doing that. So this is not known at this point. I don't think Jackson knows. This is a wait and see how these things go type of a thing.
Great stuff, Blaine, on both the BYU football and BYU basketball sides. It is why you are the dual threat analyst. Good Monday to you, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Blaine.
Blaine Fowler on BYUSN. I feel so old school. Good Monday, sir.
It's a good day to you. If you missed any of the alumni game and any of the coverage around that, you can go find it on BYUSN.com, featuring a lot of Spencer Linton in this photo, which is great. It was super fun, and can't wait for the 1984 piece to come out this summer. It's
absolutely
awesome.
Hey, I'm just trying to be polite, like Reiner was with Mr. Pitta.
Mr. Pitta.
It was Mr. Matthews, too. Mr. Matthews Mr. and Mr. Pitta.
Next to the week,
good day, sir.
Brother Pitta.
You've heard our thoughts and Blaine's thoughts, but what do you think the missing ingredient is for BYU to win in the NCAA tournament next season?
Flour.
Say it politely. This is BYU Sports.
Cinnamon.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Our question of the day, what's the missing ingredient for BYU men's basketball to win a game in next year's NCAA tournament? Safe to say that expectations are that the Cougars now have to make next year's dance.
Yeah. If they don't, it'd be just
boring. Absolutely.
They were too good this year, returned too many pieces. We'll see. Things can happen, but the expectation is BYU will return many of those guys.
Kyle Beers on X answers, health of BYU's bigs. BYU makes some layups, and they're playing Saturday. Don't know if BYU overcomes Illinois, but we feel better.
Yeah.
All in all, great season and plenty of potential for next season.
The point isn't whether BYU would have beaten Illinois, as Kyle mentioned. It's we just want the chance, and BYU didn't.
Yeah.
That's the disappointment. Rue Franson on Instagram, Jackson Robinson coming back.
Oh, please. That would be huge.
Can you imagine this team with Jax?
That would be huge.
Ooh,
I'm not banking on it.
Okay, he's 21. He turns 22 in December of next year. So is the time now? Like, can he improve it? So if he was on here, I would ask him, do you feel like you can improve your stuff? I didn't want to ask him all these questions right after the loss, right?
Right.
That's not the time. We're going to ask him here in the next couple weeks.
Let him digest what actually just happened on the floor.
If we get a chance. Yes. What's the mindset in terms of you want to go out now? Like, if there's an opportunity, you're going to take it even if it's second round. Do you need it to be first round? Do you need it to be early second round? I assume that he will declare initially at least and go out and test the waters and then get feedback, and then he can come back if he wants. They've changed that rule. It used to be that you just had to go or not. Yoeli Childs, we did not expect him to return for his senior year. So is there a chance that Jackson returns? Perhaps. I don't know. He's put in two good years here. This last year in particular was very good for him, had a great NCAA tournament game.
Yeah.
How much better can it be in his own mind? Like Blaine said, if he's a starter, does that change things? Can he get up to 20 a game kind of guy? Because if so, is there a certain skill that he needs to show in college before he goes? Or is he just content doing that potentially in the G League or as a 10-day guy or a two-way guy? What does he want is the question.
Jeremiah Hale on X wants Colin Chandler, healthy Dawson Baker and Marcus Adams Jr., healthy Ali Khalifa, and a 7-footer from the portal. Now, this is pure speculation on my part. Pure speculation. I'm not going to name names, but
here, I'm going to stick a microphone.
Apparently, Utah State's head coach is a hot commodity, and there are reports out there that he may be looking elsewhere towards specifically Washington. Now, if somebody leaves Utah State, the Aggies roster could become prime for the picking as well when you lose a head coach. Yeah. There may be some people up there. I don't, again, 100% speculation.
Smells like brother.
On my part. Our elite voice.
By the way, does Ali Khalifa need surgery on his knee in the offseason? I gotta look into that.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from BYU Insider on X, who says, love Khalifa and Foose. Not having a defensive power center clearly hurt in multiple games. Mm. Need another point guard.
Dawson.
Nobody could replace Dallin Hall with meaningful minutes or impact. But a ball handler and Dawson Baker could certainly help out.
They are combo guards.
Yes.
Yeah. I think BYU is good in the ball handling space.
Let's go. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Up next, we'll take one final look back at this year's alumni game. Some of the top moments. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I didn't bring my shoes. Not that I need it to go. Yeah, I'm not very fast, but last year I got one reception for 1 yard. I think I'll just leave it at that.
My arm feels better than I thought it would, so, you know, what the heck? Let's see what we can do.
Rudy.
That was so funny when he got lifted,
they lifted him up. You thought the Missouri finish was good.
Oh, my goodness. I was waiting for C to do something like that, but I was like, even better. You're being lifted up on the shoulders.
That's hilarious.
BYU Sports Nation continues with today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Let's give it to Steve.
Steve, all the alumni that showed up, super fun, but fun to have Steve. And he comes in. He didn't expect to play in the game, so they didn't have a jersey for him. They totally would have if they expected him. He's just in whatever he came in and throws a touchdown pass. Amazing. in the corner, by the way. But yeah, fun to see Max a year later after the Achilles tear in this
game.
Says
he's feeling great,
which is awesome. Jackson Brown, Riley Nelson.
Riley to Mitch Jurgens.
This is a great event. Let's do this forever. Here's the Steve Young throw. Look at this.
Here's the Taylor Swift
shake,
shake,
shake. Lofted to a heave-ho. Yeah! And you're sticking your mic up in there. Yeah, what is it?
Rudy. Our thanks to today's guest, Blaine Fowler.
Sorry to Mr. Pitta. We ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan. I love that you said Mr. Pitta. I am Spencer Linton, and a shout-out to Mr. Jim McMahon. Come to the alumni game next year, Jimmy Mack.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow. Go Cougs.